Blog Talk Radio.
And greetings, Ma'at Hotep. Welcome to a segment of New Day Resurrection and Liberation, which was a little difficult to get on tonight, but we're here and we are so thankful to be here. We had a little technical difficulties in getting on earlier, but we're definitely here live in living color right now. And again, we give thanks and thank all of you for staying focused and knowing that we would get on eventually, and here we are. Before we begin tonight's program, as usual, we always want to give thanks and praises to our Creator. And certainly we are very, very appreciative of our freedom-fighting ancestors. Tonight we had initially planned to do a tribute, since this is Black Music Month. We had initially planned to do a tribute to, of course, Nina Simone, and also, Empress Nina Simone, and also Minnie Riperton. Unfortunately, again, because we are having still just a few technical difficulties, we're not going to be able to bring you the music that we wanted to bring for you tonight. But again, we're going to continue on with the subject matter for tonight. So later on in the week, family, we will be bringing you our tribute to Nina Simone and to Minnie Riperton, because we have a couple of special announcements that are connected to those two tributes. Again, with this being Black Music Month, and certainly these are two incredible artists, performers, par excellence. Meaning, you know, they're beyond and above just the regular. And so we want to pay tribute to them for this month, and we're going to be doing that for the rest of the month. But again, we'll have to do that later on this week, because the music part that we wanted to provide for you tonight, we're unable to do that due to some technical difficulties. But as I indicated, we do have a powerhouse for you tonight. And I mean, it's going to really... Whew, I almost don't know where to begin, but I will say this. In our communities nationwide, and you know we've talked about this here on New Day quite often, but not in the context that we're going to talk to you now. And the context is sexual violations. But this is kind of interesting, family, because it's not just in a general context. We know that sexual rape, molestation is happening in our communities. We know that. But what we're not really hearing about is what's happening in our schools, okay, and also what's happening in the cultural conscious community. So with that said, we're going to really start talking more about that. Now, some things have come to our attention here at New Day Resurrection Liberation, the Men and Women Movement, and, of course, with that, the Black Women's Defense League. And some of what has come to our attention is the fact that we have now young males that are molesting little girls, our little daughters, our little sisters. But we also now have reports of predators, violators in our community. Now, of course, we've been hearing about that in some of the church settings and so forth and so on, but we haven't heard a lot, if anything, about people who are in our community, recognized in our community. When I say our community, I'm talking about the conscious community. I'm talking about the cultural community, okay? We haven't heard very many reports, if any, in that regard. Well, we're starting to hear it now. And tonight, we're going to even hear more. We're going to talk to, first we're going to talk to our brother, Itman Johnson, whose daughter, 7 years old, was molested by a 14-year-old. Now, this father, who, of course, and family are really dealing with this issue, but when it first happened, the father, the brother, went to the school to inform the officials there that this had happened, and that they should make others aware of it, because there was a report of another little girl that this has happened to by the same male. And so the father went there to talk with the principal and to let them know that they need to let the staff know and so forth and so on. And he ended up getting arrested. I know you all got to be saying what, but yes. So we're going to talk to this brother, because he needs to be able to share this story with you, because this again is happening in our communities, and you all need to be more aware and prepared for what you may have to do in order to make others aware and in order also for there to be some healing, etc. Then we're going to talk with a sister, a couple of sisters actually, and we're going to talk about in our community again, what we call the conscious community, what we call the cultural community, what we call even in some regards the spiritual community, that there are now people there who is said to be doing things to our young girls and to our women that is not only inappropriate, but that is just totally unacceptable. You're going to get the report on that tonight, in addition to the actions and the response of the community. Because, again, this is happening all over the country, and now folks are finally starting to talk more about it. So what we're going to do is we're going to first go to our live line, and again, family, this program tonight is not for the weak or the meek. This is a very serious issue, and it's going to get very graphic. We're going to be very candid, because we have to. Because our women and girls are being not only violated in general, but violated in such a way under the guise of spirituality, under the guise of culture, etc., etc. So what we're going to do first is hear from our brother Itman and Johnson, and we're going to talk with him about his 7-year-old daughter and what he now has to deal with because he has to go to court for trespassing. Let's go to our live line. And family, we want your responses as well. We're going to open up the chat room in about 5 minutes. We apologize again for running behind schedule, but you know how it is sometimes with technology. And we thank you all for, you know, hanging in there, getting understanding. Brother, are you with us here on this live, Brother Itzman?
Yes, I'm here.
All right. Give thanks. Thank you for, again, you know, knowing that we had a few problems and still, you know, prepared. You were still prepared to come on and share with us tonight, you know, some of what you've shared with me over the past 2 weeks. So I want you to feel free. You have the mic. Please tell me one your name and feel free to go into what happened with your daughter.
Okay. Well, my name is Etienne Johnson, and I've been a resident of Yaton, Pennsylvania for mostly all my life. And I have a 7-year-old daughter that was viciously molested by a teenage boy that lives down the street from us. Like the worst thing you can imagine that he did without penetrating her, he's did it to her. So when I found out about it, I went up to the school to you know, to let the principal know what happened. Because I heard that he went to the school, Penwood Middle School in Darby, but I wasn't sure. So I went there looking for, you know, a friend of mine that's like the head of security. Mm-hmm. So I went up there, and I asked my friend. Well, actually, I went up there. I parked towards the gymnasium because there wasn't no parking in the front of the school.
Mm-hmm.
And school has been out for like an hour, so they can't say I was up there looking for this boy because he lives down the street from me. So,
right.
And this is a school that I played basketball and, you know, I basically grew up in the school, went mm-hmm. through the school system and everything. So I seen a kid that I knew open up the back door, and I asked for, like, the security officer, Lorenzo Hill. And he was like, he's in the front. You come through this way. I said, all right, so I'm going to go through the gym way. So I seen him, and I asked him, like, did he know of the kid's name, or, you know, and he said he didn't recognize him. I was like, all right. So I'm going on my way home, and that's when I see the kid, and I was talking to him, talking to him and his mother, and I see that he actually goes to the school. So
mm-hmm.
me talking to him and his mother, he admits to the act that you know, my daughter told me he did.
Mm-hmm.
So that's when I said, okay. Then his mother also said that he has a history of getting in trouble with young girls. So I was like, all right, I have to go back up to this school, let them know that what he did to my daughter, and there could possibly be other victims that are scared to come out because he did threaten to kill my daughter if she came forward and told me. So I go up to the school to let them know that, and they arrest me for trespassing. Now, I didn't even think I was trespassing because they tried to say I didn't know my intentions. And when I explained to them, this kid lives down the street from me. I have no intentions on looking for him when I know where he's at. So they basically said I was trespassing. They had me locked up, and they put me in handcuffs and took me out to school in front of everybody after I explained to him, you know, what my daughter has been through. And it was like he really wasn't trying to hear it. He was just on this thing I was trespassing. So this is a school that I was supposed to send my 12-year-old son to coming up in September. So, I mean, that's basically my story in a nutshell.
Okay, brother, thank you. Now, family, I want to stress again, the brother did not go up to the school to do anything except to warn the people there, to let them know that this had happened there. And as you said, he knows where the child lived at, so if he had any intentions of going to harm or anything like that, he knew where he lived. So obviously, the brother was doing the right thing, going to the school, notifying the school, and he gets arrested. So we have to share this kind of information with our family, with our listening extended family, because this could happen to you. Hopefully not, of course, but with all this going on in the world and certainly now in our communities, we need to really act like we know, pay close attention, and really see the reality of the matter. Now, my brother, Tell us how is your daughter doing?
I mean, she's doing fine now, but, you know, like, after she told me, she wasn't really being herself. She was really standoffish. Like, my daughter, she has a real live personality, and she really wasn't being herself. Like, we had to take her out of school because the little boy's sister, she goes to the school that my daughter goes to, and sometimes he would come pick his sister up, you know, walk home together. Mm-hmm. So she didn't want to go back to school. So it was traumatizing for me, mm-hmm. her, and you know, her mother. So like, but she's doing good now though.
Okay.
She's doing good.
And
now,
of course, as it was indicated, you were to come on last week, and I said then that I hoped everything was okay. And as it turned out, your daughter had kind of had a crying situation during that time period, which prevented you from calling in last week. Is that
right,
correct?
Right. Yeah, she had like a little emotional breakdown last mm-hmm. week, and it was just me and her here. So, like, I just had to just make sure she was fine, you know, and everything else, like, you know, was second. It slipped my mind, honestly, because I had to deal with her. I'd never seen her act like that before, so it was like,
mm-hmm.
it was like,
and that's
serious.
Understandable. I mean, of course. Of course she wouldn't be acting like that. I mean, this was something that, you know, is out of the norm. So, and again, she's 7 years old.
Yeah, 7. This kid is 14 years old.
Okay. Family, if you all have any questions or comments that you have for our brother, please press 1 now, and we will entertain your questions. The other thing we want to add is, now you did, of course, the police, of course, it was reported to the police, and you have since, you know, taken your daughter to, you know, see a psychologist. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. Now, you being charged with trespassing have already gone for your preliminary hearing, but now still have to go to a court date.
Right. It's June. That'll be July 10th at the Darby Courthouse. I have to show up there on July 10th at 10 o'clock in the morning.
Okay. So what we will do between now and July the 10th, brother, we will have you back on. And, you know, definitely remind folks that are in the Philadelphia tri-state area that, you know, you will be going to court. And certainly if they're in the area, you know, definitely we got to support you. I mean, there's no way. Your family is going through enough as it is, and here you are still standing up as a black man, supporting your daughter, you know, doing everything you can at this point to help your daughter, but also to let these people know, you know, that they need to pay attention to what's going on, and this is what they do?
No.
Lock you up?
That's what I had, like, when I was sitting in a cell, that's what I just it wasn't really making any sense to me. Like I'm sitting here trying to shed some light to you, like, what you have at your school.
Right.
And you should want to know about this, you know.
Right.
But the principal, Nate Williams, he was not trying to, Nate Wilson, that's his name, Nate Wilson.
Right. Okay.
He was not trying
that's
to hear
right.
what I was saying, because he was just so concerned about trespassing. But then I thought about it. Penwood has been on the news a whole lot lately. So
right.
I'm thinking he just didn't want to catch no more heat, so he had to make an example out of me. But it was crazy.
Okay.
What I came up with.
Okay. We know what's going on with it. Caller, you're at 9069. Do you have a question or comment for us tonight? 9069?
Yes. I was going to say, wonderful program today, tonight, so to speak. And did he ever, I don't know how to pronounce your name.
Etienne.
Mm-hmm. Did you ever, like, look through the handbook, like the school handbook? I think something like that, you got to put it in writing. You just got to follow these protocols. But I understand the nature of the situation would have any person incensed. And I feel like you're probably going to win whatever court case, probably get the charges dismissed, because this is reasonable. You had a reasonable cause to be at the schoolhouse.
Absolutely.
And the second thing I was going to say that I know that when it comes to children and sexual abuse, it's a very sensitive nature. I mean, because you're also dealing with underage people. But I like to point out to people that these types of disturbances start early. And I know two childhood friends who end up becoming registered sex offenders. And you just got to, there's no cure for that. The treatment for children is very vastly different from the treatment for adults. So, in other words, even if he's prosecuted, he may, once he turns 18, he might have a clean record.
Mm-hmm.
And he may be free to molest again.
Mm-hmm. Wow. And unfortunately, you are so correct. But at least it will be on record now. At least, you know, hopefully the child can get some help. You know, that's
right.
The other thing that we're going to talk about. I mean, this has happened. We know we have a young sister who is devastated, but at the same time, we have also a young male who is obviously, you know, something's wrong. So, you know, as a family in the community, we have to think about that too and hope that the family, his family, will seek to get him some help. Okay. Go ahead, brother.
Okay. I was going to say that, you know, I'd like to see something done also in regards to boys who are being molested, too, in the schools. Because I'm you mentioned a female victim, but there are boys out there.
Absolutely.
I'm to look up the November 1990 issue of Essence magazine. There's an article called "When Boys Are Raped" by LLOID GITE. When Boys Are Raped, November 1990 issue of Essence magazine. And he talks about being raped at the school while he was in junior high by a boy who was held back from high school because he didn't pass the grade through. So they held him back until he passed grade. And so I'd like to see that issue also addressed, too, unfortunately.
Okay. All right, my brother, and we certainly agree. Where are you calling from? What city? What state?
Texas.
Okay,
Austin,
very
Texas.
Good. Well, good thing. Good things. But let me just also say this to you because I really have to, and not that I'm attempting to negate what you just said, but what I will say is this, that unfortunately and in reality, the larger amount of rape and molestation is with females. And while we struggle to end it all in our community, there has been little to no voice for our women and girls, and not just in molestation, but in being beaten, you see. So there's a whole thing going on with women and girls in particular. It is not likely for a man to be strangled. It's not likely for a man to be strangled. It's not likely for a man to be beat up.
Yes, I understand what you're saying, but let me intercede and say in terms of boys, in terms of children, that the two groups that have the highest risk of sexual abuse is actually black boys and disabled children. That's the
problem. Well, I would have to see those statistics.
Black boys and disabled children, they're at the highest risk for sexual abuse.
Okay. What I would like, if I may ask you to do, I would like to see that because I've been in this field for 20 years now. And what I've seen, not just in so-called data, but what I've seen in my personal experiences in being out here in the field and dealing with it, that's not the case. So I would love to see
I'm in the
that
field
research
too.
Information.
I'm in the field, too. And I'm seeing boys and girls who are sufferers.
Okay.
And because society we have a tendency to think that females, young girls are the only person, people being molested, but no. There's a lot of
I'm not saying that they're the only ones.
But in terms of high risk, it's because of society conditions. Boys are conditioned to be able to be by themselves. Girls are conditioned by society to we got to protect this girl's womanhood. And for that reason, and due to latchkey single parent homes, that was a high risk factor as to why sexual abuse was in our community too. That's something that also needs to be addressed. The single parent thing.
I totally agree.
We need to address that.
I totally agree.
Some of us don't want to address that because we think that it's an offense to us, but it's something that's very serious. The single parent home has been
no doubt.
To the risk factor.
That's why we are not only doing this program, but are creating direct actions to address it. And again, I would appreciate it with data that you have available that indicates what you just said. I would certainly appreciate that because, again, on our end, we're very proactive. When we get information, we act on that information. We don't just read it or evaluate it. We put some pieces together to be very proactive and to strategically address it. And again, the data that I have indicates that the households that are headed up primarily in our community are by women, which means that the likeliness of a male person being in the household in a transitory situation is more likely, et cetera, et cetera. So, again, I would love to see your data and work with you, you know, to deal with this crisis in our community.
Okay, sounds good.
Okay. All right. Good. Thanks. Thank you for your call and thank you for your information. And again, I have your number, I think. But if I don't, please contact us at nationalmwm@aol.com and please let us stay in touch.
Okay. Sounds good.
All right. Thank you. Okay, family. I think we lost our brother, Etienne. He has a name, and I'm usually pretty good with names, but I think we might have lost him here. What we're going to do is get ready for our next caller, though. We are going to try to bring in Sister Ajawa. I'm not seeing her on the boards here, though, for some reason. So I'm going to try to scroll down a little longer here. Our boards are pretty lit up tonight. We give you the thanks for all of you tuning in. Let me just check again. No, I'm not seeing, but we do have some callers that got something to say, so I'm going to go to you, caller. Caller, let's see, you're at 1613. We're going to open up your mic and see if you have a comment or a question for us tonight at 1613.
Hotep, this is E.I. Ajua.
Oh, E.I. Ajua. Okay, I'm sorry. I didn't recognize your number. Okay, Jim, thanks.
Okay,
we do have you. All right. Yes. Wonderful, wonderful. Okay,
yes.
Well, we're going to move on to our next segment because we lost our brother who, I don't know if you heard the brother's report on his seven-year-old daughter.
I did. And definitely want to send some energy and strength to him and his family, you know, for
absolutely
having to, you know, deal with that violation in his family. And, you know, we just really have to rein it in and do what we need to do to educate our youth to protect themselves, you know, as in those kind of situations, because it's becoming too rampant. You know, one is more than enough, you know.
It is.
Wow, 7 years old, that loss of innocence like that is horrible. That's really horrible.
Right.
And I'm just so thankful that he's able to access help for his young, you know, young queen in training, I call him, you know.
Right, that's right.
So I'm very thankful that he's able to access help for her and, you know, that he's actually taking it, you know, that time and energy to do that for her, because she's going to need it, and, you know, will benefit the entire family in the long run. So, you know, I want to send a lot of energy and strength and power to their family.
Absolutely. And before we go into this next segment, which talks about in our cultural, conscious, spiritual communities, that there are things happening that we need to begin to make our people a little more aware of and a little more prepared for. But before we do that, I just want to add a final note to our brother, what he was saying, what we didn't get a chance to convey to our family, and we'll bring him back on as we get closer to him going to court. I mean, I'm still just totally baffled by that. He got to go to court.
Right.
But,
yeah.
You know, I mean, that's a whole nother, you know, and insult to injury kind of thing.
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly.
But the thing I wanted to mention so that we, too, can be more prepared is the fact that he ended up having to take, well, not having, but he didn't know of anyone at the time. He took his daughter to, as the authorities kind of indicated that he needed to do this process. He took his daughter to, you know, one of the so-called officials in their process, and with that, that being a doctor, and it happened to be a female European.
Mm-hmm.
You see, now, when I talked to the brother further, I said, well, how did you feel about that? How did your daughter feel about that?
Mm-hmm.
And the brother conveyed to me that he felt it was, you know, just business as usual, that, you know, this was a situation, and by law and by the court system, they got to do A, B, and C, and this was just another case for her. So I just wanted to point that out to everyone, that we've got to have our own people who understand our experiences, culture, et cetera, et cetera. So with that said, I'm going to be reaching out again further to the Delaware Valley Black Psychologists, to the National Black Psychiatrists Association, so that we can connect with these groups of folk to deal with some of what we know is going on in our communities.
That's a good move. And, you know, we also need our social workers, too, to, you know, so that we can access resources that we pay for in our taxes, you know.
Absolutely.
And, you know, a lot of parents don't know they have the right to request, you know, specific people to deal with in those kind of situations. And if that can't happen, that I'm hopeful that at least, you know, the girl's mother or, you know, a female family representative was with her, you know, during that process.
Oh, yeah, they were. They both, the father and the mother was there. But I'm just saying at the same time, you know, this child needs help. She needs help. Yeah. She doesn't need to be treated as a statistic or, you know, okay, you know what I'm saying? So we just, again, want to make our family a little more cognizant and aware of the realities of some of the things that we now need to do. But let us move on to the other segment or the part of, of what we wanted to talk to. And family, those of you who have questions and comments, just hold them for just a few minutes, because if you did have it for the brother, I'm sure it's going to be relevant to what we're getting ready to talk about now. And I'm still waiting. I think the brother will probably call in. And, you know, knowing us, sometimes our charges die out on us. So he's probably fine, you know, looking for another charger or another phone to call back in. But in the meantime, we have E.I. Ajua has joined with us now, and we're still talking about the very similar and almost same kinds of topic, but this time, the first time it was a young teenager male who has molested a young female, and as the father indicated, he did everything to her that you can imagine, with the exception of penetration. He did everything else to her, and she, you know, when you go to the doctor, they give you the doll and all of that, and you show what was done, and it was all done. That was all done, okay? She told her father what happened, but she also demonstrated it too. Okay?
Wow.
So, you know, again, but now we're going to move to what's happening in our communities. And family, again, we want you all to be, you know, very clear that we have to begin to talk about these things. Now, Ia Ajua, along with several other sisters in the community, are outraged, along with brothers, too. Don't get me wrong. The brothers are meeting as well. The brothers are meeting to figure out how they're going to proceed. But what I'm going to have Ia Ajua do is to tell you all about what has happened here in Philadelphia. It's still under investigation. We don't have all of the information or all of the pieces, but there is enough information that indicates some actions need to occur. And so I've asked the sister to at least just give us an overview of what has been reported and an overview of some of the actions that have been proposed or will be happening. And then we can hear from other callers as well. But just give us kind of an overview of what it is that has happened.
Okay, and thank you so much for the time and everything that you do in terms of the Million Women March. And, you know, we need a strong collective to continue to build amongst ourselves as sisters in need, and, you know, so that we can continue to support one another. But what we have in our the so-called this person, we have a violator and predator in our midst in the cultural conscious community in Philadelphia. And this person, I mean, he walked his walk and he talked his talk, because he didn't walk the walk or talk the talk of our real African ancestors, but he presented himself as if he was. And everyone is really mystified, you know, because he violated, while he was presenting himself to be an active part of the cultural conscious community of Philadelphia, what he really was Yoruba. He was an incomplete being. He is an incomplete being. And he functioned in that way. And what he did was he victimized some of our young adult sisters in our community. And what we found was that he had a history of doing that. But there was a lack of communication amongst all of us in the cultural community. So, you know, he went about continuing to do what he did, and, you know, practically protected within the community. So he has now been exposed, because one of our daughters was brave enough to bring it to the front. And, you know, now he's exposed, and the community knows who he is. And what we're doing now at this point is this is the first in the process of developing safe communication pathways for our daughters and our sons. But the idea mm-hmm. is that we want to make sure that our youth know that when they are violated in any way, shape, or form, that there be a communication pathway for them to share that with someone or someone, you know, so that it comes to the surface and we need to handle it right away. And so that's what we're in the process right. of doing. The sisterhood right. is building and amongst one another, and we are going to address the situation on Monday.
Mm-hmm.
In at a location in Philadelphia, and more information will be given at a function tomorrow. So
right.
basically, we're just talking about what we're going to do to address this situation in terms of mm-hmm. a violator and predator in our midst. We are not mm-hmm. having it. We are moving in
right.
the spirit of Yah Santua, the Kentucky,
mm-hmm.
and Nzinga. And we are going to do what we need to do to protect our children, to protect our
mm-hmm.
young adults among us. Because we know, in particular, our females, we need stable females so that we can produce, we can have stable families. You know, we need stable females and males, but we definitely need the stable females so that we can continue to nurture and produce families to continue the African legacies left to us by our African ancestors.
Mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm.
so, you know, there's been a meeting, at the meeting, about the meeting, to go to the meeting, for the meeting, and all of that. But
right.
we need the sisterhood, we need something more. And so we're going to handle it. We're going to do something more on Monday. And so that's pretty much what I'm sharing with you tonight.
Okay, Sister. Well, good. Thanks. Now, just so our people can get an idea, because again, we need to convey what we're talking about to a more realistic extent. We're talking about the reports of a person who has been in the cultural community for over 30 years.
Yes.
Who apparently yes. was violating young females in those early years.
Pretty
and
much.
That, and when we say violating, we're saying sexually active
yes.
with young females, one or two that were impregnated.
Yes, yes, yes. And he has a history of behaving in that way. And apparently he thinks it's okay. I think that. I don't know what their mindset is, and I don't want to know, but I just think that it's, you know, something that they can't control, and it has to be controlled for them. And that's the whole
mm-hmm.
purpose of the sisterhood getting together, because we are going to control his behavior for him so that he
mm-hmm.
does not, so that he is not able to continue to do what he did in terms of violating young sisters in our community. He presented himself as a spiritual leader.
Right.
He's a very intelligent
right.
person, but, you know,
mm-hmm.
he's intelligent so that he could access his next victim. That's what he
right.
that's what he did.
Right.
And for him, he even violated his own female children in his family.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
so it's just, he's just really a horrible person. I don't even want to call him a person. Like I said, he's Yorugu. He's an incomplete being, and we have to handle incomplete beings. We have to bring the force of Ma'at on this incomplete being, so that we can
mm-hmm.
have balance in our community, and that's the purpose of the sisterhood getting together on Monday.
Okay, we're going to go to our phone lines. Caller, you are at 88-72. We're going to open up your line. Do you have a comment or a question about what we're talking about tonight? And, of course, we're talking about sexual predators. We're talking about sexual molestation and violations in our community, in the Black African community, and not just in the general context, but even as far as it goes, and those who are, you know, wearing the cultural garment and doing the various cultural things or spiritual things in our community. Now, we, of course, heard about this in the Catholic Church with you know, them, you know, to, you know, they, with this, what they were doing. Well, we don't know of any males at this point, but we do know, and it has been reported that this is happening with the women. And we're not, and we're talking about several things here. We're talking about womanizing going on in our community, meaning males utilizing the culture or information relevant to the culture as a way of getting women.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're also talking about the molestation and the actual rape, or if not, well, yeah, it is rape. Let's put it straight out. Of young girls, okay?
Yeah.
So this is what's going on. This is what has been going on. And the point that we're making is that some knew, and if I didn't make that point, let me make it again. Some knew, some of the people in our community in this particular situation knew of this happening and did not speak out. And we're talking about 20 years ago they knew. But
mm-hmm.
it just so happened that now that it's happening, a young sister did speak out. So, caller again at 8872. Do you have a comment for us or a question?
Yes, I would like to say that the lady was talking about just then coming together.
Mm-hmm.
On Monday, I think she said. See, I'm
mm-hmm.
a victim of rape as well, so I know what it's like. I grew up with it with my cousin. You know, watching my uncle doing it, you know, and it's a lot of, I've been through that a lot. So I think that the women coming together on this would be a great thing, but don't just come together, and stick with the program. And I also would like to know if I could also say something about the doctors.
Mm-hmm.
May I make a comment on what
sure.
I'm going through with
sure.
my doctors? I'm 63 years old, so, and you know Yvonne Hiller story, you know the Nabisco story in September 2010. Well, the same thing that was happening to Yvonne Hiller also happens to me.
Mm-hmm.
And my doctor had put me on this medication that kind of helps me when that happens to me. Well,
mm-hmm.
the doctors that I'm originally from Florida, but I've been to several different states, and no matter where I go, this thing follows me. And now where I am now, I'm here in Pennsylvania, and
mm-hmm.
the doctor's office that I'm going to, they're refusing me my medication, and they put me on medication because I'm also having internal bleeding. And they put me on medication that you're not supposed to put a person on if they having bleeding, because I had to have surgery to have the toxin that was injected into my body removed. I had to have a partial hysterectomy because of that. And right now, I'm damned if I speak out, and I'm damned if I don't.
Mm-hmm.
So this is why I'm speaking out. I'd rather know that
All
I
right.
spoke out and something
That's
happened
right.
to me than to say that I didn't speak out and
That's
something
right.
happened to me. So this is why I'm calling on the Million Women again.
All
and I
right.
want to thank you for listening and keep
mm-hmm.
up the great work and Hotep.
My eye, Hotep, to you, sister, and thank
wow.
you.
Yeah. Wow,
I mean, see,
yeah.
this is why the Million Women March was really, or one of the reasons why it was envisioned and why it happened, because it was known that there needed to be something that was going to address these issues and not fake the funk and not, you know, get sidetracked, none of that. And we haven't.
That's
for
right.
16 years. We've stayed the course no matter what. And I mean through a lot of stuff, but we
mm-hmm.
did. And so, you know, we feel blessed that we've been able to show that consistency so that our people would really see and know that we were dedicated then, we remain dedicated and committed now. And now, you know, it's been time for sisters to come together, but now there's a situation where we're forced to do so, and, you know, and it's all good. We have one more caller. Caller, you're at 8247. We want to bring you in, and we got you. Go ahead. 8247.
Yes, greetings, Hotep Empress Chi. This is Sister Basima out of Philadelphia, Basima Muhammad Bey.
Yes,
how are you?
All right.
Hotep. Sister Adjoa, are you still on the phone with us, sis?
Yes, I'm still here, yes.
Much respect. I was listening from the onset, and it's a privilege to hear the concerns of the community, particularly from the brothers' perspectives as it pertained to the whole family, and certainly as we raise our concerns as women who is the family.
Mm-hmm.
I just mean the first and foremost just say that as he was sharing with us, Empress Chi, in terms of the statistical numbers that he was looking at about boys,
mm-hmm.
In a thought. And I was saying,
mm-hmm.
like, wow, if they are
yeah.
the predators, if they are the predators on the females, then the numbers are very high.
Mm-hmm.
But we did not want to lose the contents of what the women's call and position on the abuse
mm-hmm.
and the misuse of black women, girls,
mm-hmm.
children.
Mm-hmm.
This topic is very sensitive for me because the corporals that we're talking about this evening, as Sister Adjoa said, very close knitted into our community. I just want to just share. We talk about 30 years. This brother had became the thread in most of the hymns of the cultural activities and institutions in our community.
Right.
So I'm still shocked in terms of the character, the flaws that he must have to deal with within his own internal self to carry out this different character with this mask all of these years within his own self.
Mm-hmm.
So I was listening to the caller and I was having thoughts and I was having feelings in terms of how deep this problem is in our community.
Right.
It is very, it is layers of pain
yeah.
because if these perpetrators are brothers, and they are, as we are looking and raising our concern as black women and daughters, then the concern is becoming, why are we not looking at the prevention of our young boys to fathers? We need
mm-hmm.
you. Mothers
mm-hmm.
are doing their jobs, and it has been a very heavy job. But
yeah.
we need
mm-hmm.
the men in our community to look at and safekeep after our young boys. I just
mm-hmm.
want to go here for a moment before we go into this incomplete being, as my sister calls him.
Mm-hmm.
It's that the whole concept of the educational institutions that are closing down here in Philadelphia, yet still they are building a $6 million
prison.
Right
mm-hmm.
now as we speak, getting
yep.
prepared to fill it up.
Fill it up.
Inside of these
and
institutions.
And, sister, if I may just for 1 minute, they're planning to build one that's $400 million.
Well, my numbers might have been off because that might be the same institution. I was outraged. That's all I know. It was out of the norm. They're
mm-hmm.
talking of bringing comfort where they're having indoor air conditioning, and it is becoming
mm-hmm.
a multi-dollar business in terms of manufacturing the mindset of the black community. Inside of these prisons, our young boys are trained. They are forced to become homosexuals. We don't want to
mm-hmm.
deal with the question of homosexuality. We will overlook it. but they are forcing situations like the predator we're talking about. I'm sorry. This has been very difficult for this entire community, particularly here in Philadelphia, and as it comes aware to the broader community, it will certainly be a more painful and mystical concept in terms of how we are looking at what we are doing to have accountability for our own actions as African people. But I have to make it very clear to our listening audience and certainly send a message completely to us, even as sisters. When I said no more secrets, I called the shot, no more secrets. This brother's name is Jabali Wazari, who was one of our great, great, and it's painful, but he was one of our great leaders in this community amongst the cultural and spiritual community. He violated this community. He violated and tricked the family, the children. And there's still some love and pain going on, and we're still healing. I hear it. I hear it as we go forward, and we must stand and take the stand what we need to do. He also goes by the name of Bradford Williams. We got to address this. No more secrets. Because if we call ourselves a community, and I know people are saying, well, it's going out to the white man. Damn it, the white man knew what he did with him when he did it 30 years ago. He ain't no secret to them.
That's right.
It's no secret to them. They know who he is, where he is, and what he's been done. They know the mind that he has. They know the gifts that he has. And they know that the lives that he had the potential to destroy. So to control him, we must set a tone. We must set a standard that it is complete. This brother is a serial rapist. That's what he is. I make no bars in calling it what it is. He's a brother that I would have stood and fought with and for. Make no doubt about it, and I say that from my heart. But no more secret, him and nobody else from the top. It doesn't matter. These are our children, and we must begin to look at the seriousness. Yes, it is a call that has come from a historical perspective, and yes, we must deal with it. But we cannot look at it from such a perspective when we have them hiding amongst us, using our culture, using the spirituality, manipulating through that. So I just wanted to make it more clearer in terms of who this brother is and the real feelings for this brother. I mean, it's been, when Sister said, let's get more realistic, you know, it's real. We have to be realistic in terms of how we're going to go forward in dealing with these things. The caller before me, it was really deep to hear her share. But this has been going on for centuries amongst us as a people. So Monday we are going to meet up at 8535 Missioners Avenue here in Philadelphia. Again, that is 8535 Missioner Avenue here in Philadelphia. We're going to go to that community. We're going to have the brother's information put out in reference to whom he is. And all brothers must make mention that we're not women, as they like to say when you begin to deal with the issue, that you must deal with, that you men hating and you this and you that. We hear that. We hear that in the struggle as we begin to talk about the pain that the sisters have been exposed into the world. You see it in the news every day. You hear it on the radio every morning.
Yep.
Of how to deal with the African family. So Mama Tom is here. We're not hating on men. We love black men. We are the mothers, we are the daughters, we are your sisters. And we care about you. And we care about what's happening to our children, who are the most innocent ones of this. And so I say on that, Ashe, and I give you thanks, Empress Chief, for allowing this airway to stay open for us and give us the opportunity. Just keep it real. You know, it is
definitely painful.
I
mean, we're talking about a brother that was he was instrumental in taking our young brothers through rites of passage sessions. I mean, for like 10 years, he did this. he took our brothers through rites of passage. So, like, you know, it's a really severe violation. It's practically, like, I know you referred to the Roman Catholic Church. This is a Sandusky in our community, you know? And it's horrible beyond words. Everyone is aghast. We're so confused about it. And the sisterhood is just like, we know we have to address this. We have to address it. We have to address it more than has been addressed already. And
I'm gonna bring in one more caller, so that there's a comment that they might have for both of you. I want to bring someone else in. Caller, you're at 8914, I believe it is. Do you have a question or comment for either Sister Basima or for E.I. Ajua, or you just have a comment? Please feel free to bring it forward now.
Want to move?
Okay. On the move.
That's
my
right. Hotel. Hey, I want to move my sister. All I have to say is, that's right. That's right, warriors, all of us.
Sister Pam,
that's
African
right.
Family.
All of us.
Yeah, all
that's
of us.
Right.
That's right.
I want to join in that call for Monday. And because enough is enough.
Yeah,
and
right.
This person, I am so glad that you called the name my sister Basima, because I was getting ready. I was following in. And, you know, the name must be exposed. The picture must be exposed. The brothers, the sisters, and the children should be at that demonstration on Monday.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
It is about time, because these predators hide within our communities.
Yes, they do.
He's not the only one.
No, he's not.
There's many
right.
of them.
That's
but
right.
This is the call that will end all of this.
Yeah.
Men, brothers, mothers, sisters, we all have got to pull together.
Yes,
30-year history man has in our community.
Yeah.
How many children have been molested? I say today, it must stop.
Yeah.
It must stop. All this favoritism, this whole thing about, of who a person is based on what people think they're doing in our communities. And when you molest a woman, when you molest a child, and how do you keep your mouth shut about this? I am very angry as I find out that more and more people knew about this predator.
Yeah.
This monster was around me and my children. He was never able to, if he had that desire to, because we don't let our children out of our eyesight.
That's right.
Even
that's
when they're
right.
grown, we're that
that's
mama
right.
lion, we're that mama bear, we're that mama who know that it's mama time that you
that's
cannot
right.
trust. And I want to say this as well. There's not only men predators on our children.
Come on.
There are women that are predators on our children as well. And I'm saying we got to take it all the way across the board. We got to wipe it out. We got to make our children feel safe and secure. And we got to have our children continue to look at us as the protector, as the mama who is very zealous of her children.
That's right.
I'm saying, Sister Basima, Sister Ajua, Mama Filet, I know y'all will be there. I'm on my horn tonight.
All right.
When Mama Basima said that the demonstration will be Monday, put that address out. Do you know how people can get there by bus or whatever? I don't care where you're from. If you got to walk
right.
there, bus there, bike there, get there. And because this man, since he's done that, he is still in our community.
Yes,
how many other children have he preyed on since this became public knowledge?
Come on.
To someone? He still walks amongst us, amongst children who do not have the idea, who have respect for this monster. There's a demon amongst us, and we must deal with it.
Yeah, we must deal with it. And the demonstration is at 5:00. And Sister Basima, can you get an address again?
Yes, the address is here in Philadelphia at 8535 Michener, Michener Avenue.
You know a bus to go by there? What do we get?
The 18. The 18 will take you to Wisworth, and the 18 will take you right to. Yeah, it'll take you right there. The 18.
What about the L?
Right,
do the L bus? Cause I thought I was on the L bus one day, and so I am.
Okay, you might have. I'm not sure. I'm not sure about the L bus, but I know for a fact the 18 going towards Cedarbrook Mall will take you right there.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Well, the L that way, the L, and then you will connect with the 18th at Borden Alamy, and that will take you right out to that area.
Let me talk about the L bus, Mama, I think.
Alamy. Yeah, I was talking about the L bus. Once you get to Borden Alamy, because I was going to visit my mom, and I was on the L bus one day,
right.
And I thought I saw him.
Okay.
And he looked filthy that day.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't even know it.
Now, I think it's important, again, to really make it clear, because we have listeners calling in from all over Florida, Texas, California, so we need to make it clear, because there are people listening who don't know who we're talking about, and we need to make it very clear that we're talking about someone who is almost an icon in our community, lectures, does rites of passage, does marriage ceremonies, does naming ceremonies, you know, all types of things, drumming,
poor
libations.
He was good. Yeah,
right.
He was just honored, like less than, I think, like 2 years ago, he was just honored for being a powerful drummer in the community. You know, it's just it's mind blowing. It's really mind blowing, and now it's going to take us. And this is good because it's going to take us to a whole another level of scrutiny.
Absolutely.
In terms of how we look at people and evaluate people. Because sometimes people that appear to walk that walk, they're not really walking. They're just talking. But you have to be conscious and aware of that.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And you know, as far as how the white man look at this, how, you know, anybody who look at this don't approve, I don't give a damn about how they look. What I give a damn about is how those children, when I look them in the eye and they look me in my eye, that they understand. When I say I'm protective of you, that's what I am. And I don't play no games with that.
That's right. And that you mean it, you know, because our children, they question it. It's like, well, if we can't, you're trusting this thing, because I don't even want to call him a person, but he, you know, he does it, and he's done this to us. Who can we trust? Who can we trust in our community? That was the question that they asked. Who can we trust? If you trust this thing like this, this monster, you trust a monster, and this monster has violated us. And who do we trust in our community? We are at the point now where we don't need our children asking us, and our young people, we don't need them asking us questions like that. They could be solid in their position, in their stance, and who their family is, that their family will protect them at all costs, and that, you know, their family will educate them and give them all
the... They did feel like that. You know, I just want to say, you know, in respect to the children and raising that question, they did feel like that. They knew their family would protect them. They knew that their family was the immediate family and friends that family trusted. Again, this man was like a piece of thread within many of our families. I know my family in particular. He taught my children, my nieces, my nephews. So they did do what they were supposed to do as the children, because we brought them to them, as they said. you had introduced us and told us that these were the mama and papa. So I have to ask us, because a lot of times we talk about the children and how they should respond and what they need to do to protect themselves. I just raise a question of us as adults. What are we doing to redefine in this day what are people doing that we must check their background, we must check out who they are. You know, we bring them amongst us, people come amongst us, and like this brother, he's been amongst us for 30 years. He has an incredible background of connections,
mm-hmm.
but nobody talks about the history to his family. We don't know these people. There are people involved that's blowing my mind. They're going to be exposed, but at this level, we got to let the community know this man resides in that community. And Sister Pam raised the question, and in general, how many other children have been there?
Right.
With that said, I think it's also important that as we are talking with communities nationwide, that we are also suggesting family that within your community, have you heard something? Have you heard maybe just an indication of something? Because there's a good possibility that some of you who are listening in other parts of the country have maybe heard a little this or that. And as I was talking with Sister Adua earlier, we're people who talk. You know, black folks talk.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It ain't like, you know, usually we talk about anything and everything, anytime.
Uh-huh.
So now, why in this particular situation was there not something really said before now, since the reports that we've gotten indicated that there were several incidents that had happened over the course of these 30 years plus. So what we're saying to all of you, family, is in your community, is this something that you might have heard and just
absolutely
said, I don't think I'm going to talk about it? Or is it something that somebody made it slip up and said, and you just said, oh, they just made a mistake? We can't do that anymore. We've got
mm-hmm.
to look into things a little further than that now. This is very, very obvious to us. Now, for points of clarity, and why there's also a major concern here, and as we indicated earlier, some of what we're talking about, family, is some things that apparently was known. So if it was known some years ago, why did no one speak up then? And then perhaps we wouldn't even be having this conversation today.
Conversation. I know that as much as I had been impressed by the mental stance with the brother, his mental capability, his ability to reason, his ability to communicate with various different topics on various different levels, I would have never allowed him to be in a company with my children.
Mm-hmm.
By no means.
Mm-hmm.
That would have not been the gentleman that would have been teaching my children by no means anything. So we were looking at him and what he was offering us because we didn't know any better about his background. We didn't know. I mean, it's hard, you know, like when the children ask you, why didn't you tell us? Why didn't y'all say nothing? Some people
right.
didn't. I didn't know that. All I can say at that time to them is that I didn't know. You know, but when it came
we know
to
now.
Many people that didn't know, of course we have to address the issue. Of course we'll be there Monday at 5 o'clock at 8535 Michener Avenue here in Philadelphia. Because we cannot, we will not let 31 years go by without the recognition of the predator, the serial rapist that has been amongst us for all of these years.
And because we don't, this is the start, because the purpose is that we want to build safe communication pathways between adults and our young adults and children in the African community. We want to reestablish them. We want to strengthen them so that this does not continue to happen to our families. We're already under attack worldwide. You know, we don't need to be under attack. We don't need to be in attack in our community amongst
Absolutely.
One another.
You know, one thing else comes to my mind, you know, when you know, when the brother called in and was saying about the rape of young black men and within our community.
Yes.
And Brother Jabali did the rites of passage with men. I would really
yes.
hope, you know, that isn't an add-on to it. But I'm saying it because it is in my mind. We did not think that he would do what he did to our daughters.
Exactly.
And
exactly.
again, the brother was saying, and it's quite true, men do not speak out on what happened to them. Young
no,
boys
don't.
Do not speak out on what's happening to them. So
mm-hmm.
I'm saying in this stand, I hope everyone who has some information about what has been going on over these past 30 years, stand up. Stand up for the sake of our children and let them know that now that we know, and I am so sick and tired of people talking about what they would do if it was them.
True.
Whatever it is that you're talking about, application needs no conversation.
That's
right.
All
I'm saying.
I heard
application
that.
Needs no damn conversation.
No,
we
don't.
Say what we're going to do.
That's right.
Okay? Children being molested like that. Our young girls in fear. Some of them don't even want to say, and are because of who he
yeah.
is
yeah.
and fear of someone not believing them. We have an example to set here.
That's right.
An example of righteousness for our children, of what it is that we will do when there's a predator amongst us like this and pretend to be something that they're not. They must be exposed. And
Absolutely.
That's what we're about doing. And all that other talk, and all, I don't want to hear no talk about, you know, what somebody going to do. And, you know, I've heard enough of that. And on the case of just like Mumia, people say, you know, if Mumia dies, there's fire in the sky. Well, damn it, I ain't seen the puck from a damn match.
True.
Stop talking.
Let's start walking. That's right. Walk your talk. We're going to walk our talk Monday.
Oh, yeah.
The neighborhood is going to walk our talk on Monday. We are in Kentucky, in Zynga, Yatsantawa mode. And if you know your story, you know your African story, you know I'm talking about some warrior queens. We are in warrior queen mode. And it's going to happen. It's going
That's
down.
That's where we're at.
It's going down. It's going up for our children on Monday. That's what's happening.
Now, let me also interject one thing, because, and we're going to continue this dialogue because we have, a good half an hour if we'd like. But I just want to add so that our family know that while there are actions being planned for Monday, this is a protracted struggle and one that we
yes.
have intention of continuing to grow and
yes.
develop. Now, with that said, one of the things that the Black Women's Defense League, the Million Women Movement, will be initiating, as we have been doing, is the opportunity for sisters, in particular at this point in time, to be able to come to a session where they can provide their own testimonies if they choose to, if they're ready to come forward and want to begin conveying some of what has been happening. We're going to provide a venue for them to be able to bring their testimony. Or if they want to write something to us, we'll give you the email address or the mailing address where you can write to us and tell us about your story. Tell us as much or as little as you would like. Because what we begin to launch is what we call the National Campaign for the Elimination of Violence and Abuse of African Women and Girls. It's a national campaign that is ongoing to provide not only insight into why is this happening to a great degree now, from which it comes, and What can we really begin to do about it? How can we begin to bring in our black psychologists, as we said earlier, our black social workers, as we said earlier? Because we have to deal with this thing holistically if, in fact, we're going to combat it. So while we're talking about proaction, and we're going to do that, we've got to also look at prevention in the future.
Yeah.
We've got to also look at for those who may be willing to come forward to tell us more about other situations, what are we going to do if they do? What preparations can we begin to put in place to help address these things? So there's a lot of work that we're talking about here. And
right.
as all of you
right.
know who are regular listeners, we've been talking about it and working it and doing it. But now, as you hear others, this brother called in from Yaton earlier, which is near Philadelphia. We've had other calls in. We got a call in the other day from New Jersey, a 17-year-old sister shot in the face. This wasn't rape, but he killed her. So
right.
we
it's
get
violence.
Constant
violence
cases
is violence.
Of this.
Yeah.
Right, and that's what we're saying. So we have to, as a family, begin to holistically address this issue all across the board. So, again, sisters, and again, there was an attempt to bring brothers together so that the brothers would have a unit in place. We now have some brothers who are coming forward and saying they're ready to do that. We're saying, sisters, you have a story you want to share with us? Be you in Philadelphia, New York, New Jersey, Atlanta, send us your story. Let us know if something has happened to you in your community. You can send it to nationalmwm@aol.com. Again, national, spelled out, mwm@aol.com, or to bwdl7@aol.com. That's the Black Women's Defense League, the number 7, but it's spelled bwdl7@aol.com. You hear what these sisters are talking about? Well, you know, if any of you have ever heard any of these sisters before, and you know they've all been on our program before, then you know they are not kidding. Not near none of them. They are totally serious, and this is going down. There's a saying here in Philadelphia that if you see Sister Basima, then okay, you know, it's all right, maybe. If you see Sister Pam and Sister Basima, I don't know. Better kind of check it out because something's up. But if you see the three of us together, it's
that's
on
right.
and popping. So,
and can I add something there, Sister, you know, Sister Filet? I, as a black woman, if someone rapes my son, you have raped me. I have the
that's
same
right.
anger. I
that's
have the
right.
same anger, and I'm coming
that's
to
right.
hell after you. I'm coming to hell after you. We're
I
talking about
that.
Protecting them all. But this show here is about young women being raped and molested and what's happened to them.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm saying, when you when you mess with my child,
we're not under
male
FCC,
or female,
so you're good.
When you, okay,
we're not under
when
the FCC,
you mess with
so
my
good.
Child, whether it's male or female, you have messed with me.
Okay.
Okay? And I don't want to let that first one slide up because, you know, I get Tourette syndrome with them MFers and all that other stuff. So, you know, I'm going to leave it
what I was telling,
where it's
what
at.
What I was telling you, it's okay. It's okay because
oh,
we're not
okay.
censored.
All right. And I got to get
hey,
to work
trying.
And write some
these
things out.
Outrageous.
Beg your pardon?
Just hit it one time. This motherfucking thing is outrageous. We got to hear
it.
It's the damn Africa.
Whew. And I'm telling you, when we come into that block, we're going to be knocking on doors and letting
that's
mothers
right.
and fathers know what is in their midst. A predator.
Right.
And won't be surprised if one of them children say, I got a story to tell.
Oh, my God.
I got a story to tell.
Mm.
You know, so we're coming. We're coming. And we're coming with flyers, and we're putting the dude's picture on the flyer while we're exposing and making it safe within the communities, and our communities. And what is going on here? And sending a message to all those other predators. your shit is up.
That's right. Time is up.
All right.
That's right. Look, I got to pull up right now, and but I will see you on Monday. I won't be able to get to the Drummond Circle tomorrow, and I will be there on Monday and on the horn letting people know what is going on and urging people to come with us. And a lot of people were saying, you know, well, he knows you're coming. And
so
he might not be there. He don't have to be there. He got,
he don't
you
have
know,
to be there.
You know, the neighbors within that community must know you're not going to sit there safe, acceptable, and respectable within that neighborhood fooling people.
Right,
and we're going to make it too hot for him to be anywhere. Want to move, my sisters? I see you.
All right,
and
Sister
people
Sam,
out there in internet land, and, you know, take this as an example. And and go into your communities and clean house.
That's right.
And most
That's
of all,
right.
get yourself prepared for the Million Woman March.
Yeah.
Okay?
All
the
right
Million
now.
Woman that's coming up in October. Organize.
That's right.
Organize. And another thing
that's
is
right.
coming up in October, the Sisterhood of Muslim Women. Another thing coming up in October is the LOCS Conference. We're
that's
on
right.
the move. We're on the move. And I'm saying we're
all
moving
right.
anything that's not right out our way. Let's unify and take this motherfucker down. On the move.
Oh,
all
right now.
All right,
family.
Those
who do not know, that was Sister Pam Africa, of course, the chairwoman for the International Concern Family and Friends of Mumia Abu-Jamal. And, of course, you've heard Sister Pam here on New Day on several occasions, and I'm sure we'll have her back soon to give us an update on Mumia. But tonight, as you can tell, we've been talking about something that has really been swept underneath the carpet, for lack of a better terminology, in our communities. It's unfortunate, but finally we're starting to shed not only some light on it, but, you know, for those of you who have ever seen what they call roaches, I'm talking about the one that runs around, usually, as they say, when you turn the lights on, they start scattering and running and going everywhere. Well, you know, that's kind of what we're dealing with to some degree, but it's more serious than that, of course. But needless to say, you know, to hear that a community is, in fact, taking its own action, not the white man's action, not something that is, you know, according to the law. We're not saying that that won't happen, but the responsibility of the community has to also be very visible. And that is what we're talking about tonight, that we must all now begin to, if we say we are a community, what does that mean? What does that represent?
Exactly.
In 2013, that's got to become a lot clearer now, because as it has been demonstrated from this young sister who brought this situation to our attention, what we say about being an African, a black community, is something wrong with that picture. We've got to make it clearer and correct it. And this is what we're talking about doing. So this is a first step. It's unfortunate, but it is indeed a step. Mama Adjua, we're going to give you some time for your closing comments for tonight, and then we're going to go to Sister Basima.
Okay. Hotep family, again, and, you know, we want everyone, all the sisterhood, to come out and support. We want to let that community know, as well as the entire African community, that we have a predator, pedophile, in our midst, and we no longer want that to continue to be. And so we need to come together. We need to, you know, come in our warrior queen mode and do what we need to do to handle our business, because as we already know, if we don't do it, no one else is going to do it for us. And we should not be looking for anyone else to do it for us. We're thankful that the brothers are supporting the efforts of the sisterhood. But I'm just really thankful that, you know, strong sisters like yourself, Sister Basima, Sister Pam, and a lot of other sisters in the community, we've really been having a lot of discussion about this. And in the meantime, you know, our children, you know, again, remain at risk, and we can't continue to allow that to keep happening to our African family. So we want to make sure that we make it known that we're doing something. We are addressing an aberration in the cultural conscious community in Philadelphia, and, you know, we're doing what we need to do to make this happen. That's on Monday at 5 o'clock. I forgot the address again, Sister Basima.
Yes, Sister, that's 8535 Misher Street here, Misher Avenue here in Philadelphia area.
That's right. So we hope, you know, we're looking forward to seeing as many sisters and brothers, anyone, all the children too from the African family to come and deal with us so that we can let that community know what's going on, as well as, you know, like Mama Basima said, we're exposing the situation so that we can properly address it. And the first start for us is that we want to start, this is the first step in us building safe communication pathways, reestablishing those pathways amongst the African community.
Before we bring Mama Basima back on to give our closing comments, I want to remind everyone that tomorrow sisters will be at the Drum Fest over at the Belmont Mansion. Now, I just found out about it today myself, which is real interesting, but that's a whole other issue. But nevertheless, tomorrow, if you're at the Drum Fest, you'll be able to get additional information. Sister Basima will be there. I'm sure E.I. Adjua will be there. And you'll be able to get some additional information if you wish to. I don't know if you have a telephone number, Mamas, that you want to give out for tonight, but if not, it's okay. Again, if you're in the area tomorrow and you're over at, I'm sorry, is it 33rd and Gerard?
33rd and Gerard. It's the Hatfield House at 33rd
okay.
and Gerard.
Right at that corner.
Right.
Yeah, it's an outdoor
right,
activity, so you know, you'll hear the drums.
Okay.
And so, you know, follow
right.
the drums. Yeah.
Okay, so there'll be information there tomorrow as well. And again, it's the Drum Fest. So, Mama Basima, you have your closing comments for tonight.
Yes, greetings again. This is Sister Basima Muhammad Bey. I did not, and I find the need to, Empress, you really touched me when you began to continue to emphasize to the community that you continue to be on point, Queen. People are saying that there has been nothing done in reference to the violence. I just want to say that there has been. Empress Chi has been on point. She has been doing various programs, bringing various people in, having various different information amongst the community circulating. But finally, we're listening. So as the fourth assistant president general, I, Basima Muhammad Bey, personally thank you again, sister, for keeping our eyes on the prize. That if we don't protect womanhood, and no offense to our brothers at all, we're not brother bashing by no means.
No.
We're about the whole family. And
that's
at this
right.
point, we're talking about the call that we have been called to on the floor by young daughters. They called and they asked me if I can get in touch with Empress Chi and Sister Pam Africa because they wanted to meet. And again, I'm still blown away, but as the sister called a little earlier, she asked us that if we do nothing else opposed to meet tomorrow, that we stick together and that we
That's
stick
right.
with this issue and
That's
that we
right.
will not allow this to go away. I think that is very important because, as we know, many of us have been subjected to the unfortunate hands of the white title of rape, molestation. There's a sickness that goes on with that, and I cannot ignore that as we go forward to deal with the issue and continue to put the pressure and allow people to know that we will protect our children by any means necessary. But we still have layers of things that we have not done. We talk about post-traumatic syndromes of slavery. We don't notice the real effect when we talk about that. We look at it, but when we see the sickness like this, a man of his caliber, a man of such great standards. Even learning a man that comes from such great family historical backgrounds and religious institutions, this stuff still penetrated the very inner soul of this being and made him vicious to the point that he could manipulate this law. It is really getting to me in terms of how we're looking at ourselves and what we call African-centeredness and what we call a community. So, yes, my sister, we will stick together. We will redefine for our children, as they said to us, who are we? Who are we? They ask us as their adults. We look at the children and I ask us, who are we? And we shall answer as we move forward, as we carry out Monday's activity. That's this first phase of dealing with this issue. Sandusky case, to me, really don't have nothing on this case here in general. We are looking at it from an African perspective. It makes it totally different. It gives us the less outreach. It gives us less of a lot of things, but our mobilizing to do something will begin to mobilize others to do the national thing and then the international thing. As women in Africa cry every day to tell us to look at the rape and murder of young daughters that is going on in Africa. And that
people
make a big cover and hiding, calling it war. Yes, we are at war and being warred on. And I just want to close off with that. As the Black Cross Nurses representative of UNIA, this is so touching to me, Mama Filet, when you gave out time for the sisters to be able to communicate with you further. Because the door is not closed. As we talk about this topic, the Million Women March has continued to build from day one. The official Million Women March, let's say that, has continued to build since day one. And the Black Cross Nurses theme is, let the healing begin. I thank you, my sister.
Right.
I love you with much respect, and I look forward to see you tomorrow. And
all
you
right,
too, my sister. Ashe, sister.
And thank you both. Thank you both. Family, we have been talking with, of course, two very powerful sisters, along with Sister Pam Africa. And before I close out for tonight, I want to say Asante Sana to both of you as well for being
who
you are, what you represent. You know, we talk about building sisterhood, and I think those who are listening tonight are hearing it. It's always a work in progress because being in this so-called place that we call America, you know, we're dealing with a lot of issues and a lot of situations. But even through it all, somehow, as with our ancestors, we still managed to bring it together and to make it happen. So we're hearing it tonight as well, you know, and it's a wonderful thing. And sisters, those of you who are listening, of course, as Sister Pam indicated, October, we're going to observe the 16th year anniversary celebration of the historic Million Women March, the largest gathering in the world of any women anywhere ever.
Yes,
and we, of course, reach out again for your support. Because now we have begun going international, you know, as Sister Basima, Mama Basima mentioned, and if you didn't get it, she did say the fourth assistant president general of the UNIA, and of course the UNIA being none other than that organization that the Honorable Marcus Garvey started, and there's none other like it. So, yes, it's still alive and living, and there's a sister up in there representing. But we want to make sure that you know, these struggles we're talking about are the continuations of our ancestors. The Million Women Movement is now the first global movement for all women and girls of African descent, regardless of religion, regardless of nationality, regardless of economic or social so-called status. It's all about any of our sisters knowing from whence you come and wanting
That's
to represent
right.
that. We're
That's
the first
right.
to bring that kind of thing forward. So we encourage all of you to join us. Two things. One, October 25th, which is our actual anniversary day, we're going to kick off our international movement in front of the Justice Department here in Washington, D.C., rather here in the U.S., in Washington, D.C., will be at the Justice Department giving the Justice Department, Eric Holder, our
That's
first
right.
phase of the petitions that we charge genocide.
That's
Joining
right.
us is going to be, you heard from Sister Pam Africa, we got Chairman Fred Hampton Jr., Dr. Randy Short. Remember those of you who saw the Ma'asa 21 and you saw the Sister Elaine Riddick talk about
yeah.
how at 14 she was sterilized. Without her
yeah.
knowledge, permission, and her credit, she will be joining us. Because that's what we're charging this government with, as El Haj Malik El Shabazz did, as Paul Robeson did, as Queen Mother Moore did. We charge this government with genocide. But now it's the sisters who, in representing all of our people, can make a declaration in this day and age that is relevant to after the declaration was signed in the UN with human rights. The Universal Declaration for Human Rights was signed in 1948. Anytime a violation occurred after 1948, you can now legitimately and realistically go into an international court. Because sterilization occurred primarily on the women, it is the women who now can declare genocide was inflicted upon African people. That's a very strong position to be able to take in the 21st century. And that's what we will be doing on October the 25th as a part of the Million Women March 16-year anniversary. We call it Sweet 16 because, oh, how sweet it is. Mama Basima, do you have a number that you want to give out now, or you just want to wait and just continue to just give people the address?
I think that we will come back on your show, Empress. We want to show
okay.
up Monday, and we take it from there. We will have a number ready after this phase here because, again, there are layers of issues that we must deal with here, and we want to involve as many of people in the community is necessary before we take off as if we are absolutely excluding them. But we want everyone to know that
okay.
we will be on the case, Mama Filet, with the numbers, with the flyers, and anything that they can need to be in touch with us. But, of course, you know that you can always reach us through Empress G, and the show is available for more dialogue. We will be back.
All right, now, and family, please let others know. Once we wrap this program up for tonight, if there's something you need to review or you want to pass it on to others, please feel free to do so, because all of our programs are in the archives for the past 5 years. This one, of course, will be there usually after half an hour to an hour. It's ready, available for you to download, and it's there anytime at your convenience, so pass it along. We're going to be talking more about what we as a community, as a family, can do to begin to address some of these areas that many, unfortunately, have put aside. We all know that there's womanizing in our community. We all know that people have utilized the culture and religion and so forth to get in bed with folks. We know that. We just didn't want to talk about it. Well, as a sister said, no more secrets. Not when it comes to things that are detrimental to our community development, and certainly when it gets into exploitation and degradation. No more secrets.
Yes.
Family, we thank all of you. Mama Basima, Muhammad Bey,
yes.
Sister Iya Ajua, I thank both
oh,
of you.
Thanks,
this dialogue
yeah, I
has
so
been
much.
Powerful.
I appreciate it. I appreciate it, and I do have a contact number for me in terms of
okay.
If you want to join, come on board with us, we'll be walking our talk at Afrocentricity International. I'm the president of the Philadelphia chapter, and folks can reach me at AFROINTLPC at Outlook.com. Again, that's AFROINTLPC. PPC Outlook.com. And I have a contact number of 484-427-2096. Again, that's 484-427-2096. And we're building in that organization as well. And and with some collaboration, we'll also be doing a shaming ceremony, which I will lead. But we'll talk some more about that later. I'm sure that we'll talk with you if you could give us some time to share about that at another time. But we definitely need to bring some balance amongst ourselves and our community so that we can, you know, build up that trust again amongst each other. And we can't do that if we're allowing people to run rampant through our children. That's not going to happen. That's not going to keep on happening, no. Yeah.
And I think, sisters, one way I believe that we can begin to do that is to show, you know, greater trust amongst each other. As we exhibit that, the children will see that as well, you see.
Yeah.
So I'm certainly, you know, committed to making greater efforts to do that. Now, before I let both of you go, are you on Facebook? Can people hit you up, as they say, on Facebook?
Yes, I am on Facebook. I'm on Twitter. I'm on Pinterest. I'm on LinkedIn and Tumblr. So you can reach me at all those places, EYAJUA. Also, Afrocentricity International, Philly, PA chapter. We're on Facebook. But mainly, if you just look up EYAJUA, you'll see all my connections on Facebook, Twitter, Tumblr, Pinterest, Instagram. I'm on Instagram, too. So I'm doing a lot of communication and building and networking.
That's where our family is. I'm trying to let y'all know that I'm out here. She's on it, without a doubt. If there's an outlet, certainly you could be sure that she is there. And certainly Facebook, I would say that the sister has been very visible and sharing her opinion to the community in terms of and challenging the question of us as a community and African people. It is important that we continue to look at, you know, Facebook. And I'd like to turn the conversation around, Mama Audra, just for a moment. I know we're closing out, and certainly we've been on our last word for a minute to the listening audience, but of course you can see the topic is hot. We are serious, and it's very important. I am on Facebook, but I ask you to Google me. And that will help you better just be in touch with me and the work that we're doing as UNIA, because there's a lot that is going on. I would leave you to understand that we will be back on this show.
We're
with Connected Black People's Movement. We're connected around the world. But what we're not connected at right now is in our community. And I think that my reason of holding back in terms of my information and putting forward is that I've been charged by young sisters who told us that we sent people to them. We sent them as pastors. And I want to be correct before I join in this broader conversation and making sure that we are on point in what we're doing. I know we are, but I want you to know that we're checking ourselves as they check us. And I thank you again, I thank you again, Mama there's so many eyes around us, sisters, are growing, the thoughts are there, the energies are expanding, and we're looking forward to seeing everybody again Monday at 8535 Missioner Street here in Philadelphia at 5 o'clock on Monday. Thank you again, sisters.
Yes. All right, good, thanks, Asante-san, again. Well, family, we are going to close this segment out. We hope that you have found it what we want it to be for you, and that is, of course, inspirational, motivational, and with that, it's going to always be liberational. So we thank all of you again for continuing to tune in. Again, we've been here for 5 years, going on 6 years now, and wow, I mean, say it again.
I said congratulations, yes.
Yes, indeed. I mean, you know,
this
is what it has to be. And as it just so happened, we are now looking at going cable. And we're looking at developing a radio, a FM component, because the FCC has just opened up some new radio for, you know, regular airwaves kind of thing. So we're going to be telling you more about that as we proceed, but we're going to stay here, nevertheless, either way it goes, because we like what we do here. And again, we certainly appreciate all of you who have passed on the information. We've gotten so many new listeners over the past couple of years. Before we close out, I want to send a special Happy Earth Day to my Amira King. Today is her Earth Day, so hey, we got to give that out to her. My condolences again to our brother Andrew and his family. Of course, today they had the going home services for his sister. And, you know, for all of you, for all of you who might be going through some, you know, serious kinds of other trials and tribulations that we oftentimes find here in this place, we want you all to know that our ancestors went through worse. Now, that might not be real condoling to you, but it is the truth. They went through a hell of a lot worse, which means even though, you know, we be feeling different things in different ways, know that we will come through this and we will win. Promote you to the Shinda. Together we shall win. Family, much love and respect, and I'll see you all tomorrow.
Yeah.
To our extended family listening audience, much love and respect to you. And we're going to leave you as we oftentimes greet you, and that is in the spirit of Ma'a and Hotep. But remember, please remember, there can never, ever, 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 ever be any real peace unless there's Ma'a, unless there is Ma'a justice. No justice, no peace.
No
justice, no peace.
No
justice.
No
peace. All right, family. Till next time. Tutanana.
Tutanana.